The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Do you think he knew that he lost the election?
Do I personally believe that? Yeah, at first I wasn't sure, but I have come to believe that he knew well that he had lost the election.
Well, what about Hillary Clinton? Do you think she knew that she lost the election in 2016? What was going on in her mind when she asked for recounts in Wisconsin or Michigan? Did she know before she challenged the election, or at least was in the early stages of trying to challenge the election? I think she finally dropped it later. But did she know at the time that she asked for those recounts that she lost in 2016? What about the dear leader, Barack Hussein Obama? After Donald Trump shocked the world and won in 2016, the dear leader said it's going to be a smooth transition. And yet he was working behind the scenes, hurriedly, with John Brennan to come up with this secret intelligence assessment saying that the Russians stole the election. The Russians together with Donald Trump. Collusion. Did the dear leader know? Did he know in 2016 that Donald Trump won the election? You see, all of these motivations, we're divining motives. We've got to find out what was going on in Donald Trump's head. What about Barack Obama's head in that critical transition period? Or even what he's doing today. There's a Washington Post story about Obama meeting with Biden recently and how he's going to be more active politically. What's going on in his mind? A lot to get to on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. You can get to the live video stream of this show at our website. Just go to trumpetdaily.com, and you can get the live stream at 11 a.m. in the Central Time Zone of the United States. Also, don't forget about our active channel on Rumble. Just search for the Trumpet Daily, and you can get in on the live chat even during the show. Sometimes I'll put a comment during the live show. It's during the break, of course. I haven't done one while I'm speaking yet, but I should try that. I should try that at some point. In any event, we're also on Live from America every evening at 8 p.m. here in the Central Time Zone and 9 p.m. on the East Coast. So you can go over to LFA TV and leave some comments there. Leave us some thumbs up. Leave us some rumbles, as I think they call them, and help boost the popularity. Speaking of boosting popularity, or at least a good news story, we're going to be hosting General Michael Flynn here on this campus in, just 2.5 weeks. I think his speaking engagement is Monday evening on August 21st. That's a Monday night at 6 p.m. And you can go to our website, thetrumpet.com. Just scroll down a little bit. You'll see his picture next to an article. And I think at the bottom of that article, it takes you to the seating arrangement in Armstrong Auditorium if you'd like to secure tickets for that speaking engagement. We're also hoping to have a question and answer session. That, of course, that event with the general, Lieutenant General Mike Flynn, that's the day after the Celtic Throne Encore, and I think we've already sold about half of the seats available for that show. So just go to CelticThrone.com or go to thetrumpet.com and come to both events. If you're anywhere near central Oklahoma, you'll be in for some wonderful entertainment in the form of Celtic Throne. And then, of course, my father was even talking about the general just the other day. He heard a speech recently and was just so impressed at how experienced and just his knowledge base, General Mike Flynn. So he's got some engagements coming up even this weekend in Iowa and Ohio. And we're very happy that we can announce that he'll be speaking here on this campus as well. That's just in 2.5 weeks. So it's really very simple. We'll play along. You know, what was going on in Donald Trump's mind? Because they've got to divine the motive. They've got to divine some kind of motive to prove all of this conspiracy that's in the Jack Smith indictment. He really and truly believed there was just a massive amount of fraud. Bill Barr says that he was even talking about it before the election. Well, so was Bill Barr. Who can forget? He's on with Wolf Blitzer. He's hot under the collar. This is October of 2020. And he's telling Wolf Blitzer, if you have massive amounts of mail-in ballots, that just opens the way for fraud on so many levels. Bill Barr was warning about that before the election. And so was Donald Trump during his rallies. What about the Democrats? The Democrats on the other side that were saying, well, Donald Trump's, he's the president. He's in control. It's his DOJ. We've got to get ready for Trump trying to cheat. So what about that? What's going on in the minds of Democrats? You even have the Time Magazine article. Remember when they gloated about how they stole it, basically? And they had all of these plans in motion to where if Donald Trump somehow still managed to win, then they were going to unleash their foot soldiers, BLM, Antifa. They had a plan. They were scheming. Okay, we'll use the same language. Scheming, conspiring, planning. They talk about everything that's supposedly going on in Donald Trump's mind, even as they scheme, even as they conspire, even as they sell out the nation, even as they receive bribes to change U.S. policy, even as they receive bribes to force out an investigator, a prosecutor in Ukraine, to get him fired, to use the resources of U.S. taxpayers to say, Shokin's either fired or you're not getting this money, $1 billion in loan guarantees. But never mind any of that. What is Donald Trump thinking? Well, I think I have a pretty good idea. He was talking about how the Democrats were going to try to steal it. In the lead up to the election in November of 2020, he spoke a lot about that. And he was right. They had a plan to steal the election. Now, after they complete the steal, what is Donald Trump? What's he thinking? How is he going to combat the fraud, the obvious fraud, as he saw it? Forget about the people around him saying, look, you lost, move on. He didn't believe that. Clearly, he still doesn't believe it. But just put yourself in Donald Trump's mind. If you believe there was massive amounts of fraud, then what would you do to try to combat it or fight it? Well, he hired a team of lawyers. He was getting input from them, counsel from attorneys. Can you believe it? And then he tried to fight it through the courts. He was trying it. The courts kept rejecting it. He tried to fight it through the courts. He was pleading with members of Congress to do something, particularly in the lead up to January 6th, where they had a chance, a constitutional opportunity to review the evidence, to look at all of these affidavits, all of these witnesses, all of these irregularities, to consider it, to debate it. And of course, Donald Trump was also trying to raise public awareness of all that happened. The press certainly didn't do it. As soon as Chris Krebs comes out and says it was perfect, they blotted out any opposing message. What was going on in their minds, the regime media, when they were censoring messages about the election steal? That's just to take one subject. I could go through 20 if you like. But what was going through their mind that this message must be deleted? We don't even want people to see it. What kind of motivation is behind that? Why? In a nation where we supposedly celebrate free speech, why would they blot it out? That's a good question. So Donald Trump's trying to raise awareness. He's doing it at rallies. He's doing it at the protest on January 6th. He tells them to go on down and protest peacefully and try to give encouragement to your congressman to speak up, to consider the evidence. Give courage to Vice President Pence. He has some authority here. We're arguing. based on what I've gotten from my attorneys, we're arguing that Mike Pence has the power, the authority to kick it back to state legislatures to make sure that everything is above board. And yet here they are. Here they are trying to get into the mind of Donald Trump. He, you see, is a conspiracy theorist. He, you see, is an election denier. He, you see, cannot contest an election, certainly not where Democrats win or where Democrats steal it. When the communists are in control, it's illegal for you to challenge their victories. It's illegal for you to question it. That's why they want to get into his mind. Are you questioning the election? Now, of course, when Democrats are not in power and they lose elections, they never accept the results. As I say, what was going on in Hillary Clinton's mind when she decided to call for recounts in Wisconsin and Michigan? What was happening inside of her head? Listen to what was going on in the heads of, this is a little scary, I know, in the heads of Hollywood actors in 2016 after Donald Trump wins the election. Here's what Hollywood had to say, clip 9.
Republican members of the Electoral College, this message is for you. As you know, our founding fathers built the Electoral College to safeguard the American people from the dangers of a demagogue and to ensure that the presidency only goes to someone who is to an eminent degree endowed with the requisite qualifications.
An eminent degree. Someone who is highly qualified for the job.
The Electoral College was created specifically to prevent an unfit candidate from becoming president.
There are 538 members of the Electoral College. You
and just 36 other conscientious Republican electors can make a difference.
By voting your conscience on December 19th.
And thereby shaping the future of our nation.
I'm not asking you to vote for Hillary Clinton.
I'm not asking you to vote for Hillary Clinton.
I'm not asking you to vote for Hillary Clinton.
As you know, the Constitution gives electors the right to vote for any eligible person.
Any eligible person, no matter which party they belong to.
But it should certainly be someone you consider especially competent.
Especially competent to serve as President of the United States of America.
By voting your conscience, you and other brave Republican electors can give the House of Representatives the option to select a qualified candidate for the presidency.
I stand with you.
I stand with you.
I stand with you.
I stand with you in support and solidarity with conservatives, independents, and liberals.
And all citizens of the United States.
The American people trust that your voice speaks for us all.
And that you will make yourself heard through the constitutional responsibility granted to you by Alexander Hamilton himself.
What is evident is that Donald Trump lacks more than the qualifications to be president.
He lacks the necessary stability.
And clearly the respect for the Constitution of our great nation.
You have position,
the authority,
and the opportunity to go down in the books as an American hero.
Who changed the course of history.
And you have my respect.
You have my respect.
You have my respect.
For your patriotism.
And service to the American people.
There's your brain-dead celebrities calling upon the Electoral College to reverse the results of the 2016 election. You can do it. You can do it. You can change your vote. You can kick it to the House of Representatives. Well, how is that possible? If everything that Donald Trump thought about doing or tried to do but didn't because he didn't have the support from Mike Pence and others, if that's all illegal today, what about in 2016? Benny Johnson, the commentator, he's the one that tweeted that out. That reminder that by today's standards, by Jack Smith standards, you'd have to put half of Hollywood in jail. Because, more than half. I mean, they're 95% dark blue. You'd have to put them in jail for what they're thinking, or at least what they were thinking in 2016. I read to you this story yesterday from the Daily Signal, just to give you a little bit as a repeat. In the past 20 years, Democrats objected three times to Electoral College certifications. Three times! Not just the celebrities in Hollywood. Democrats in Congress. says here, since the passage of the Electoral Count Act of 1887, which provides a legal avenue for members of Congress to challenge electoral votes under the Constitution, Democratic lawmakers have objected to election outcomes on several occasions, including 2001, 2005, and now 2017. This article was written right before January 6th. Just to remind everyone that, look, historically, it's generally Democrats that won't accept the results of elections. Now that Donald Trump has done it, he should go to jail. We're going to try to send him to jail for 400 years for moving boxes. This allows us to tack on another 50 or 60 years. Here's Bill Barr, of all people. He came in 2017, 18, whenever it was. He sat on the Hunter Biden laptop. He sat on the Biden crime family axe. All of them. He sounded the alarm. To his credit, he sounded the alarm about the problem with mass mail-in ballots in October of 2020. And then after they stole it, he very quickly surrendered to the radical left. And now he's out there, and judging by his comments, you'd think he sees Jack Smith as a more credible source or a more credible member of the swamp or government than Donald Trump, who, if you just look at the policies, he had a pretty, and particularly when you consider what he was going up against, he had a fairly successful presidency, and Bill Barr worked for him. But all that's out the window. Now, I mean, it's Jack Smith. Now, I mean, you get behind the dear leader. And now you put Donald Trump in jail, if you can. This is Bill Barr again from yesterday, clip two.
We're only seeing a tip of the iceberg on this.
You think Jack Smith has more?
Oh, yes. I would believe he has a lot more. And that's one of the things that impressed me about the indictment. It was very spare. And there are a lot of things he could have said in there. And I think there's a lot more to come. And I think they have a lot more evidence as to President Trump's state of mind.
President Trump's state of mind. This is coming from Bill Barr. See, when the communists are in control, when the Democrats investigate themselves, there's always, you know, oh yeah, there's mistakes and it got a little messy here and there. But look, our intentions, the motivations were pure as the driven snow. But when they're going after their political opponents, even when there's no wrongdoing, they'll divine some kind of motive that shows it's obstruction or it's a conspiracy. You were thinking the wrong way. The fact that you thought this even before the election proves you were conspiring. It proves it. The Biden family? What's going on? What's happening? We'll play along. What is Hunter thinking? What could possibly motivate him to make that purchase of cocaine and to get high as a kite? Or when he brings in the prostitution rings, or when he calls his dad on the, speaking of divining motive, here are Democrats, they're out there saying, look, he called him up. Yeah, how could he not say hi? It'd be preposterous for him not to say hi to Hunter's business associates. He was talking about the weather. Well, why? What was going on in the big guy's mind? Or Hunter's mind? What was Devin Archer had a little sit down with Tucker yesterday and gave us some insights into what was happening or what was going on. Even if it wasn't spoken directly, this was the reason that Hunter got him on the line. It's very powerful when your father is on that speakerphone and he happens to be the vice president of the United States. What does Bill Barr think about that motivation or what was going on in the big guy's mind? He had all the information. It was right there on the laptop. And now it's coming out with Devin Archer's testimony. It's coming out because of Bob Alinsky. It's coming out because of Jim Comer's investigation. All the evidence is there, and you don't even need to really think about the motive or divine some kind of a motive. The wire transfers are clear. The $10 million came in as a bribe. And then the vice president at the time, Barack Obama's point man in Ukraine, he made sure that Shokin got fired. Devin Archer says that Burisma would have gone under were it not for the Biden family. What does that tell you? Here's this corrupt business, this oil company, this oil and gas company in Ukraine, and it's kept afloat because of the Biden crime family. All this is happening right now. Of course, like I said on yesterday's show, the dear leader has sprung this on, at this indictment. He sprung it on the American people, the regime media, at this time because they need cover. They're really turning up the heat on the Biden crime family activities. And so just like they did when Hunter came out and admitted that the laptop was his, just like they did when Jim Comer had the evidence saying that there was $5 million that came into Hunter, $5 million that went to the big guy, and then Shokin gets fired. The day after those stunning, stunning revelations, bombshells, if ever there was a bombshell, the day after or 2 days after, here you have an indictment, or here you have an indictment that's expanded. This week, of course, it's Jack Smith, his indictment. What exactly is going on in Donald Trump's mind? Listen to the real insurrectionist here. This is a montage of the talking heads trying to explain why this indictment is so serious and it's certainly not political. Clip 11.
Now, the indictment overall is a very powerful vindication of the rule of law in American democracy. Of course, Trump supporters are going to claim that everything that Trump was doing was just free speech, which is silly because he's being charged with a whole series of actions of conduct, a conspiracy to obstruct a federal proceeding, the conspiracy to defraud the American people, superimposing counterfeit electors.
Giuliani is yelling about his First Amendment being infringed upon, or former President Trump's First Amendment, while he's posting on social media, while he's appearing on TV. No one is infringing on your First Amendment.
There's no right to try to overturn an election. And that's why the First Amendment argument that Rudy so forcefully articulated in that doesn't fit the fact pattern of this case. Again, this goes to the heart of democracy. This is as serious as it gets, and that they tried to overturn the election by any means at their disposal, including encouraging members of the Senate to try to delay certification, which was what the attack on the Capitol was in part designed to do, apply pressure.
My big take home from this indictment was this is not going to be about the facts or the law. This is going to be a test of us and how we're reacting, and whether we care about the facts and the law, because the allegations here, and there's so much evidence here, are really crystal clear. The charges are so mainstream in terms of this is not a novel legal theory. This has been brought over and over again. And to me, this is really going to be about whether people in this country care about the facts and the law.
That's Weissman there. That's Bob Mueller's pit bull. That's an Obama hack. And he's there talking about the rule of law and saving democracy. And he, for 3 years, he tried to destroy Donald Trump through the Mueller investigation. 3 years! And then these are the commentators now, talking as if they're totally objective, right? Just giving you both sides here, right? They're hacks, all of them. They're propagandists, all of them. And how sad, really, how sad when you see Bill Barr, the one who came on board the Trump administration because he saw that the Mueller people were trying to divine a motive to say that Trump was obstructing justice. That's right. We've written about it at The Trumpet. If you haven't subscribed to The Trumpet magazine, make sure you call our operators and request a free one-year subscription. The number is 1-866-930-3024. We wrote this in The Trumpet. This was in 2019. This was, again, following in 2018 when Barr came on board. He wrote this memo to Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. And he said, look, what they're doing in the Mueller investigation to persecute Trump, it's wrong. It's unlawful. And this kind of stunned the Mueller team that someone as prestigious as Bill Barr, I mean, he's right there in the legal community. He had a good reputation, and this kind of stunned them that he would come out with this public memo. Of course, it went to the DOJ initially. But this Trumpet article from August 2019, it says the crux of Mueller's position is that, this is quoting Bill Barr, the crux of Mueller's position is that whenever the president exercises any of these discretionary powers and thereby influences a proceeding, he has completed the guilty act of the crime of obstruction. I mean, you could take, this was regarding, you know, what was happening back in 2018 and 19 when Donald Trump was just being attacked relentlessly. But you could take the same language, you could take Barr's statement and just apply it to today. Supposing you're the sitting president of the United States in December of 2020, and you've got all of these piles of evidence coming in, thousands of affidavits, people willing to testify under oath that there was cheating here, that this was dropped off here, that this video shows this. And as the sitting president of the United States, you have an obligation to look at every constitutional way that you can fight back against the fraud. What do these people think Donald Trump should have done? Well, I'll tell you what's going on in their minds. They think Donald Trump, like most others do, should just get down on his knees and surrender to the mob of communists. Just walk away. If Donald Trump would have done that, you think these indictments would be going on? If he just said, fine, I've had it. They stole it. I'm going to Mar-a-Lago. I'll go early. I don't think I'll even stay till January 20th. I'll just go early. Do you think they'd really be harassing him like they still are to this day? That before he came down the escalator in 2015, these people, all of them, they loved him. They loved Donald Trump. But as soon as he stands for conservative values, certainly more conservative than any of these people, and he fights back against their relentless attacks, well, they've got to destroy him. They've got to blot him out. This is their goal. This is the Dear Leader's goal. Fundamentally transform the United States of America. It has been fundamentally transformed. They control, this is from America Under Attack, says here, consider it, the radicals control everything, education, the news media, entertainment, social media, spy agencies, and now much of the federal government. They can protect lawless rioters and steal an election at the same time they block your free speech for saying that the election was stolen. This is what they're wanting to do with Donald Trump, block his free speech. He believes what millions and millions of Americans believe, that it absolutely was stolen. I believe it. I talk about it, I think, every day. As Donald Trump said, they're not just coming for me. They're coming for you. You must bow in humble submission, just like the Dear Leader did when he visited the Middle East as the president of the United States. You better bend over and bow before the leaders, the Dear Leader especially. He is not to be questioned. In the case of Trump, you can divine motives in his mind. Even Bill Barr has now switched, compromised. Shows you what happens, and we live through this in the spiritual sense. But, well, there's some spiritual forces at play today as well. And you know this well if you followed this show. Revelation 12:9 says Satan has deceived the whole world. 2 Corinthians 4 says he's the god of this world. Ephesians 2:2 says he's the prince of the power of the air. I mean, the devil's message is getting through loud and clear in many different ways. But certainly with respect to this satanic spirit, we've got to even blot out the thinking. We certainly don't want him to give voice to these views because, look, it caused January 6th. It caused this insurrection where all of these policemen were just bludgeoned to death. Do you know that? Do you know that the policemen, they were beaten to death? And then as soon as someone, Tucker, for example, which one exactly? Which one are you talking about? Well, in that exchange with Mike Pence, to Mike Pence's credit, you can't give him much credit for anything. Same with Barr now. But at least he did mention Ashley Babbitt first. But coming back to this article in the Trumpet, we're quoting from Bill Barr in 2018. It says, to establish guilt, all that remains is evaluation of the president's state of mind. to divine whether he acted with a corrupt motive. See, Trump, just take this now. Bill Barr needs to read his own memo from 2018. Read it. Because they're using the exact same tactics today, the same strategy. Look, just show that he has a corrupt motive. Just show that he's got a corrupt motive going on inside his heart. And then we can put him away. Then we can show it's obstruction. Then we can show it's conspiracy. This whole case that Jack Smith has brought forward hinges on Donald Trump's state of mind, if you can believe it. And Bill Barr, to his credit, the 2018 Bill Barr, he exposed this demonic strategy. Bible says we're to judge by fruits. In other words, actions. What have they done? I mean, God's law certainly does. It certainly does. There's a standard there that's for our hearts and minds as well. You know, Jesus taught that if you hate your brother, you're committing murder in your heart. I mean, there is a lot to be said for evil motivations. There's a lot of evil motivations. But look, when there's no evil actions, when you're looking at it on a national level, and there's no evil actions that are visible that you can prove, you can't, in the United States, you can't just throw them in prison over something that you don't even know if it's going on in their heart. I mean, God is their judge. God's the only one that can read our hearts. But here come these communist psychologists, all of them, and they know, even Bill Barr now knows. Do you think he knew that he lost the election? Well, yeah, now I do. I've learned, you see, I've grown since I've been out of Donald Trump's administration. CNN and others, I know I barked at Wolf Blitzer about the mail-in ballot scheme, but look, I've grown so much since then. My father writes, following these quotes from Bill Barr, he says, Mueller believes that if you can find a corrupt motive in the mind of the president, then the president is guilty. Pure and simple. My father says, this is diabolical reasoning that would destroy the president's authority to enforce the law. When did they ever try this on Barack Hussein Obama, by the way? The dear leader, I mean, they swooned before him. They didn't even vet the guy. Just let him come right into the White House. And then he's got all these destructive actions. I mean, he's droning Americans. Take one example. All of this destruction, all of this evil, just shredding the Constitution. And you could see it in the plain of day. You could see it all. But they didn't care about Barack Obama's mindset as far as they were concerned. All of the ones that swooned, it was perfect. And so even if the actions over here are really messy, even if they're really damaging, look in his heart. He was pure. He was righteous. He was lawful. He was living according to, he was upholding the law, you see. This is not the way the law works, my father says. These men who are bringing down America are psychoanalyzing people, searching for corrupt motives, but that isn't the way the law is. It deals with clear and specific actions. This is August 2019 at the Trumpet. I gave you the 800 number earlier. You can get to these articles too at our website, thetrumpet.com. Don't forget about the website. But if you enjoy hard copies, whether it's the Trumpet magazine or this book right here, America Under Attack, call our operators today, the 800 number, you can see it there on the lower third, 1-866-930-3024. These men think they can divine whether Trump acted with a corrupt motive. That's a well-chosen word William Barr used, and it really is appropriate for what they are doing. This is back when Barr could think straight. This is back before Barr compromised with the communist left. It's back before he surrendered to the dear leader, Barack Hussein Obama. It says here, my father gets into that word divine. It means to prophesy, to guess, to find out by intuition. Mueller thinks he can perceive corrupt motive based on intuition and is basing the case against the president of the United States on intuition. It's ludicrous. It's demonic. And he has over 15 lawyers, one of them, Weissman, the guy you just saw in the montage, where they all said, no, this is not political. I mean, we're really upholding the law here. And I think it's clear. I mean, he's got open shut case. No problem, Jack Smith. How could these radical left lawyers ever reach a just verdict with their intuition? So, you know, when you add to the scriptures I gave to you earlier about Satan, the god of this world, if you add to that Jeremiah 17:9 and Romans 8 and verse 7 about the heart of man and how that it's deceitful above all things, it's hostile to the word of God, it's hostile to the truth, it's hostile to God's law. And then you think about that Ephesians 2:2 verse, prince of the power of the air, the influence that Satan has over the thinking of men. Here are these men and women, attorneys, very educated, prosecutors. How dangerous is it when they're so steeped in will worship, they're so steeped in worshiping human opinion? How much evil and damage do you think is going to come out of that? Because in their minds, I should have got the clips, I suppose. You had Beschloss, you know, the esteemed historian over at MSNBC. He's comparing Trump to Hitler. Then you've got the Capitol police officer. He's making the rounds now because he's the most left-wing. He's further in the direction of the communists than any others. He's out there comparing Trump to Osama bin Laden. They're both terrorists in his mind. So again, if they know that Trump is a terrorist, if they know that Trump is Hitler, then well, we got to get him out of the way. We could do whatever we want. As long as the greater good, no matter what we're doing, no matter if it's legal or illegal, the greater good, you see, is that we get rid of Hitler. We've got to destroy Hitler. These are commentators on nightly talk shows in the United States of America. Cable news tells you about the control that the devil has on this movement. This article, it's at the Trumpet. We quote Barr again, who said, if a DOJ investigation is going to take down a democratically elected president, it is imperative to the health of our system and to our national cohesion that any claim of wrongdoing is solidly based on evidence of a real crime, not a debatable one. Would have liked to have seen more of that thinking in yesterday's interview with CNN. As it is, yesterday he's like, you know what? I might bring the same charges against Trump as Jack Smith did. Yeah, in Bill Barr's mind today, Jack Smith and Barack Obama, they're much more credible than Donald Trump. See, he's inching in the direction of Hitler and Osama bin Laden, just like Beschloss and the other guy. You see where it's headed. Boy, it's a slippery slope. Look at the change in the thinking of William Barr. It says here, another definition of divine as an adjective is of, like, or from God, or a God. That's what these people think. They think they're God. They worship human opinion. They worship the will. It says that too is appropriate, my father writes, because these men are acting as if they are God. Do you really want to be ruled by someone who thinks he can sit there and act like God, telling you that you have a corrupt motive? Do you want these men with corrupt minds judging you? See, they're sitting perched high above, and they know this. Let's see. DOJ was actively involved in it, FBI. They know. No, no, no. This is not for Twitter. New York Post, got to blot that out. They're talking about the Hunter laptop, and we're lining up these intel officers to sign a document saying that it's Russian disinformation Now, when all 51 of those intel agents signed that document, did they know that the Hunter laptop was legit? Let's talk about what was going on in their minds. Did they know they were lying? How many of them do you suppose knew when they were signing that document? Brennan, Panetta, Clapper, all those guys. Did they know that Hunter's laptop was certainly not Russian disinformation? Did they think all of that pornography and that crack smoking on the laptop, did they think that those were just actors, I guess, that came out of Moscow somewhere and they put it all on a laptop and then got it over to Delaware and it sat in the shop for months? Who was telling the truth about the Hunter laptop in October of 2020? The New York Post and Rudy Giuliani or William Barr's DOJ? Judge by the fruits, right? Judge by the fruit. You see how these communist actors judge. All they got to do is divine some kind of motive, and they'll put you in the slammer. Listen to Bill Barr again from yesterday, clip 3.
You said you've come around to the idea that you do think he knew that he lost. Why have you come around to that?
Number one, comments from people like Bannon and Stone before the election, saying that he was gonna claim it was stolen if he was falling behind on election night, and that was the plan of action. I find those statements very troubling. And then you see that he does that on election night, and then the evidence that has come out since, that the press reports and the indictment and his lack of curiosity as to what the actual facts were. Just leave me. That's my personal opinion. That's my personal opinion. We'll see if the government can prove it beyond a reasonable doubt.
You spoke to the January 6th Congressional Committee. Have you talked to Jack Smith's investigators?
I'm not going to get into that.
Oh, certainly not. Can't get into that. I mean, that's private. That's private. Discussions I have with Jack Smith, that's between me and Jack. I'm not going to get into those details. Just what I can tell you is that I've come around, you see. I know that because of what Trump said to Steve Bannon or someone before the election, that they were planning a steal. The Time magazine piece after they completed the steal proves Trump's point. It proves it. They bragged about it. This man right here, he was warning. He was sounding the alarm and doing it probably with as much passion, zeal, even a bit of anger, righteous indignation. He was doing it on this very network, October of 2020. Look it up. Should have brought the clips again. Wolf, listen to me. You don't want to run an election like a banana republic. What about what you were saying before the election in 2020? How did that influence Donald Trump's thinking? As long as we're talking about his thinking, if Donald Trump watched the Bill Barr interview with Wolf Blitzer in October of 2020, how would that have influenced his thinking, especially as he saw 100 million ballots distributed through the mail in the lead up to November of 2020? Something to think about. Listen again to Bill Barr from yesterday. This is clip 4.
And you're speaking out a lot. I mean, not a lot, but you make your decision to come and do interviews like you're doing this one here tonight. Is that so you're trying to make sure that Trump is not the nominee?
Yes, yes, because I think the Republican Party is a great opportunity. When you look at our states like Florida, Georgia, Virginia, we have conservative governors who are winning substantial victories, broadening the party, bringing people in. And I think that can be done on the national level by any of our candidates, but Trump. Trump has already shown that he cannot forge that kind of decisive victory at the national level. He's a 3-time loser, and I think he will clearly lose again on the national level.
A 3-time loser. Where's your proof of that? That he lost 3 times? Well, he obviously believes the election wasn't stolen, so there's one. And then because he didn't win big enough in 2022, is that the other loss? Does the 2016 victory count for something? How about the 74 million votes in 2020? 5 million more than the dear leader. How about that? Let's get into some of the evidence. She asked him, you're speaking out more. Is it because you don't want Donald Trump to be the Republican nominee? And his response, yes. Do you see how when you switch over to get Trump, look at how it changes your thinking on everything. Yeah, I've come around. I've come around, and now you see, I see the light. I believe. I have divined a motive in Donald Trump, his thinking, his mind. What was going on before he lost in 2020? That man went from serving in the Trump administration to now all things are about getting Trump. Just get Trump. He can't be the nominee again. I mean, he's a loser, says the loser. Look at the change in their thinking. It really is sad, pathetic, but it's also just sobering. It shows how vigilant that we need to be. The Bible talks about being on guard in our stand against the devil, to not let him influence our thinking, our behavior. It shows how important it is really to fill up on the Word of God, to feed on God's truth as well, just so that we can think straight, so that we can think like God, so that our thinking aligns with God's thinking. And what springs from that mindset, is righteous action. These men, so many of them like Bill Barr, they're compromised. And this is what the devil seeks. This is what he goes on the offensive, and all he wants you to do is to just give up fighting, to surrender, to compromise. He knows if you compromise and surrender, then you're conquered. He wins. One more clip from Bill Barr. This is clip 5.
But I mean, when you do look at the indictment, do you think it's something you would have brought?
But as a legal matter, I don't see a problem with the indictment. I think that it's not an abuse. The Department of Justice is not acting to weaponize the department by proceeding against the president for a conspiracy to subvert the electoral process.
Which is what Trump's attorneys are saying, and they're also saying that he was just exercising his First Amendment right here. Do you think that's a valid argument in your view?
No, I really don't think that's a valid argument because, you know, as the indictment says, you know, they're not attacking his First Amendment right. He can say whatever he wants. He can even lie. He can even tell people that the election was stolen when he knew better. But that does not protect you from entering into a conspiracy. All conspiracies involve speech, and all fraud involves speech. So, free speech doesn't give you the right to engage in a fraudulent conspiracy.
He doesn't see a problem with the Jack Smith indictment. Yeah, I guess, it's legit. Notice how, too, do you think, the DOJ is weaponized? Do you feel like this is an abuse of power? Here we're coming into an election year. Oh, no. It's completely, legally, this is the right thing to do. It's not some abuse of power. It's not the DOJ being weaponized. So he knows what's going on in Trump's mind. But as far as evil and lawless behavior goes, everyone at the DOJ, no problems there. How do you know? How do you know it's not an abuse of power? You don't even work there anymore. How do you know that this is not Joe Obama weaponizing Merrick Garland's DOJ? How do you know this? So in Obama's mind, in Joe Biden's mind, in Merrick Garland's mind, in Jack Smith's mind, this is just complete, no political motivation here at all. He knows. Bill Barr knows. They not only can divine motives in their opponents, the ones they don't want, that they definitely don't want to be president, they can divine righteous motivations in their friends, in the deep state, in the swamp. They know, you see, they know. They worship their own opinions. And more of them, I mean, they think exactly the same way. It's because they're compromising. They're surrendering to the devil's influence. And so when they open their mouths, whether it's Caitlin Collins, whether it's Bill Barr, pick your talking head. Beschloss over at MSNBC, Capone, the Capitol Hill police officer, they all speak the same thing. And the real sad and tragic event that plays out in the midst of all this is just seeing how many weak, cowardly Republicans there are, conservatives, that just won't stand up to these intimidation tactics, this abuse of power, this massive fraud, this propaganda. They won't stand against it. You've got to stand firm. You've got to act with courage, or Satan will come along and just devour you. I mentioned how much more active the Dear Leader is going to be. This is from the Washington Post. It says here, former President Barack Obama, at a private lunch with President Biden earlier this summer, voiced concern about Donald Trump's political strengths, including an intensely loyal following, a Trump-friendly conservative media ecosystem, and a polarized country. The Trump-friendly conservative media ecosystem? Where is that exactly? Where? You've got the little small channel on Rumble that we just joined, I suppose. I would think, I don't watch many of them, but I would think most of them are Trump-friendly. Maybe a few at Newsmax, OAN, they're trying to be, they're blotting them out. They lost their position on Rupert Murdoch's satellite service. Fox is gone. Fox is run by rhinos. You can call them Rhino Republicans or Fox Republicans. They're all the same. Here's the Dear Leader talking as if Donald Trump has all this support from the media. Really? But if the Dear Leader says it, it must be true. Because again, all his motivations are completely righteous and lawful. Says here, underlining his worry that Trump could be more formidable than the Democrats realize, a more formidable candidate. It says here, at the lunch held in late June at the White House residence, Obama promised to do all he could to help the president get reelected, according to two people familiar with the media. He's going to do everything he can, to walk down the street from D.C. and to really pitch in. To walk down the street from his private residence in Washington, D.C. Never left the Dear Leader. He has been there since January of 2009, hard at work, fundamentally transforming the United States of America. This article says here, the White House said there was no specific agenda for the June 27 meeting, and people briefed on the conversation said the two presidents discussed a range of political, policy, and personal matters, including updates about their families. Obama, who remains highly popular among Democrats, is his party's most sought-after surrogate, although his exact role in the 2024 cycle has not been yet determined. Obama aides say the former president is likely to reprise his playbook from recent elections. He's going to be active. And again, you can see from this, just like the prophecies point out, you've got a man coming in the spirit of Antiochus, and the battle is against him and the one who comes in the spirit of Jeroboam. That's all in America Under Attack. Make sure you call our operators and request your free copy. It's 1-866-930-3024. It says, finally, Obama is slated to ramp up his political activity in the coming months. He's expected to ramp it up, starting with a fundraiser in August. It says later on, that group, launched by Eric Holder, who was attorney general under Obama, aims to combat Republican success in drawing legislative and congressional districts. So there you go. Antiochus versus Jeroboam. I'll refer you to this Trumpet cover, as I did yesterday. Ready for war. The stage is set. Well, I'll have to get to the Tucker interview with Devin Archer tomorrow. Sorry, I just didn't have enough time. It goes by so fast here on the Trumpet Daily. You're listening or viewing Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.